Good morning. How are you doing? Welcome to you here and welcome to everyone on Facebook Live. I'm really excited because today we're going to close out our series in James, How to Build a Great Life. And it got me, the last part of James is all about prayer. It's all about prayer, a topic that maybe we think about a lot in the church, but maybe we don't really haven't thought about what it is, what it means, and all these different things. And what I think about is there's these times in my life where I just need someone to hear me. Maybe I had a time where you just needed someone to listen, to hear you, to understand what's going on in your life. Something good, something great, something amazing happened. Like we have graduates. We have people graduating high school. My son graduated from kindergarten on Friday. I didn't think I'd care about that, and it was amazing. It was incredible. I want to tell someone about that. Guys, I'll tell you. It was awesome. It was incredible. It was cute. Sometimes you have something amazing happen in your life. You just need to tell someone. Sometimes something hard happens. Someone gets sick. You're having a bad day. You got let go of your job. You got dumped. And you need to tell someone. We all have that moment in our lives, those times in our lives where we need to go and be heard and speak with someone. For me, that person is, of course, I have my wife. She's amazing. I tell her everything. But that person for the bulk of my life and still to this day is my dad. I want to tell my dad what's going on in my life. I told my dad when I came to work here. I told my dad when something great happens, when we found out we're pregnant with our first child. I tell my dad all these good news. When something hard happens in my life, I tell my dad. I want to talk to him. I want him to hear from me. I need to tell him. He's that person in my life. And all of us either have that person or certainly we desire that person, someone to hear us, to understand us, and to listen to us. And here's the incredible thing. If you follow Jesus, if you call and submit to the name of Jesus Christ, is you always have someone that is listening to you. That's the crazy thing that we believe as Christians, that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one that made you, that made every single person in this room, that made the world, the universe, he always is listening and hearing you. When you go to him, when you speak to him, he hears you. And James chapter 5, as we close out, we get to hear a little bit about what this looks like. If you have your Bibles, you can open to James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13. Go to verse 18. Here's what it says. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. This morning, we're going to learn about what prayer is. What is it? What constitutes a prayer? Why do we pray? How do we pray? And what happens when we pray? And here's the thing. As we've gone through this series, How to Build a Great Life, and prayer is essential to a great life. If you want to build a great life, you need to pray. We're going to open up our time in prayer and ask that God would teach us what this means. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you gave us prayer. Teach us to pray. Help us to commit ourselves to pray. And, Lord, I pray that we would see you answer our prayers. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first question you have to ask is, what is prayer? What is prayer? Some of you grew up in the church, you've been here forever, you've heard about prayer, you've talked about prayer, you prayed your whole life, but maybe some of you are still wondering, what is it? Some of you, this might be your first week at a church, you might be new to the church, and certainly we've heard about prayer, we've heard about it. Every time there's a big tragedy in this world, we see all those posts on social media, people saying on TV, we hear it said, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Maybe you've gone through a difficult time in your life and someone's come alongside you and said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Or, hey, just so you know, I've been praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you. I love you. I care about you. We've heard about prayer, but Let's just define what it is. And here's the great thing. It's very, very simple. Ready? For note takers out there, here's what it is. Prayer is talking to God. That's it. Prayer is talking to God. And you can do that wherever and whenever. So if you're in your car, you can talk to God. If you're in your bed, waking up in the morning, you can talk to God. If you're laying down at the end of a long day in your bed, you can talk to God. If you sit around the dinner table with your family, all hold hands, you can talk to God. If you, anywhere you are, in a plane, in a mine, wherever you are, you can talk to God. And God will hear you. God knows you. God cares about you. God listens to you. It can be done alone, a solo prayer, just you and God. In your head, he can hear your thoughts. You can pray to God. You can do it in a small group, around a dinner table, around a living room, or in a circle of chairs. You can pray together to God. In this room, we pray in a large group. Tyler and I prayed this morning. We prayed for you. We prayed on your behalf, on our behalf, to bless and ask that God would do something great this morning. That's how prayer is. It's just talking to God. There's no magic words. There's no special incantation. You just open your mouth or even think in your mind, and you speak to the Lord God. That's what prayer is. And God hears you. God hears you. The Bible says even when you don't know what to say in your groanings, like, oh, this is so hard, Lord. I don't even know what to tell you. God knows your innermost thoughts and desires and your needs. God hears you. That's what prayer is. And now we want to talk about, why do we pray? Why do we pray? This is a question that many of us, especially if we've grown up in the church, we might struggle with this idea. Why do we pray? This is actually a discussion that my dad and I have had over the years many times, because we believe at this church, as Christians, we believe that God knows everything. God knows everything. He knows every day of your life. It says in the Psalms that he knew every day of your life before you lived one of them. So he knows your past, he knows your present, he knows your future, he knows everything that's going to happen ever. So why do we need to ask God for anything is the question. Doesn't he already know? Why do I pray that this family member will be healed? This person I love will be healed of this illness. Doesn't God know if it's going to happen? Why do I pray to get this job that I've been looking for? Doesn't God know whether or not I'm going to get that job? Why do I pray that my kids would grow up and know Jesus? Doesn't he already know what's going to happen with them? That's a big question. And that's kind of difficult to answer. And let me be honest. Here's my answer for you. I don't know how that all works. The Bible is very clear that God knows everything. But the Bible is also incredibly clear that God responds to the prayers of his people. Over and over and over again, God's people have gone to God and prayed to him, spoken to him, asked him for what they need, and God has responded and given to them. Even in James chapter 5, we see it. Elijah, an Old Testament prophet. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He was a dude like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed, and he said, hey, God, shut it off. And God shut down the rain. No rain in Israel for 3.5 years. At the end of that time, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. God, you can bring it back. Come on, bring it back. Bring back that rain. And he did. God acts. Go read through the Bible. Read any story. People are praying, and God is responding. So I don't know. I still don't have a great answer for my dad about why we pray, how that works. I don't know the mechanics of how God answers prayers in his sovereignty. But the Bible wants you to be absolutely crystal clear. He does respond to your prayers. He wants your prayers. He wants you to ask. In James chapter 4, last week, Pastor Tyler talked about it. James says, you do not have from God because you do not ask of God. You do not have because you do not ask. You got to ask. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask over and over and over again. The authors of Scripture tell you, talk to God. Pray to him. Ask what you need and you will get it and you will receive it and God will respond to you. So here's why I think we pray. Here's a couple simple reasons that we pray. One, to build relationship. One is to build relationship. If you want to know God, you got to talk to God. If you want to know anyone in your life, think about any close relationship that you have. Your spouse, your kids, your best friends, your parents, anyone. If you want a good relationship with anyone, you must talk to them. It's as simple as that. I talk to my wife every day, as it might, that probably doesn't surprise you, but I talk to her every single day. Even though we live together, we've been married for 9 years, I still, when it's lunchtime, I usually call her to check on how her day is going. We call each other, if you look at my phone, like the calls, 90% of them are to my wife. And it's kind of, it's almost, I'm just too obsessed with this woman in my life. So, you know, but I want to talk to her. I want to hear how her day is going. I want to know, and as I talk to her, I learn more about her. And I hope that keeps going and going and going. I want to learn more about her. I want to love her better. I want to know her more with my kids. I got to talk to them. I have to. I want to spend time with them. I need to guide them, to encourage them, to love them, to discipline them, to take them down a path. That's what you do. If you don't talk to them, if I don't talk to my kids, if I don't talk to my wife, if I don't talk to my friends, if I don't talk to the people that I love, that relationship, it shrivels, and eventually it will die. We talk to God because we want to build a relationship with him. We speak to him because he hears us, and he teaches us about him as we talk to him. And really, what happens too when we pray is God teaches something about ourselves as we talk to him. So we do it, for one, to build relationship with him. Number two, we do it to build obedience. This isn't always, obedience is kind of a naughty word that no one likes to talk about. But here's the reality. And my dad kind of shared this with me too. I remember this, that part of the reason that he prays is ultimately because God tells us to pray. And there's something really amazing, and God, and honors God when in the midst of where we don't understand, in a place where we lack clarity, that instead of saying, I'm not going to do that, God, until I understand, instead saying, God, I don't understand how this all works. I don't understand how prayers are answered necessarily, but God, I'm going to obey, and I'm just going to keep talking to you. I'm going to keep spending time with you. And here's the thing. If you want to build a great life, if you're looking to build a great life, you have to go and speak to the one who gives a great life. James says in chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. If you want goodness, joy, blessing, grace in your life, you better be going to the source every single day. Going to God and saying, God, I need your help. I need you in my life. I need your love. I need your mercy. I need what you have to provide for me. I need the great life that only you can provide. That's why we pray. Simple reasons that we pray. So we've talked about what is prayer. It's talking to God. Why we pray, it builds our relationship with God, and it builds our obedience to God. And I want to spend the rest of our time talking about how do we pray. Some of you are wondering, how do you do it? I've talked to many people, I don't like praying out loud, I don't know what to say. What do I actually say to God? How does it work? What should I do? And here's the great thing, Jesus himself gives us a prayer, gives us a blueprint for prayer. It's called, you might know this one, the Lord's Prayer. How many of you heard of the Lord's Prayer? We find this in Luke and in Matthew. I'm going to be looking at the version in Matthew. The disciples go to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says this, and this is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Isn't that awesome? The disciples ask how to pray. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Now, I've spent my entire career in ministry working with students and kids. That's my life. And so I'm going to help teach you something that I've taught kids and students my entire career. It's really simple. It's one of God's great gifts to mankind, and it's an acrostic. Are you ready? Here we go, an acrostic. Remember these? Okay, here it is. We got four letters that represent four words, P-R-A-Y. We got pray, okay? It's going to help you. It's going to be a blueprint for your prayers, and I get it. right from the Lord's Prayer. The P, you ready for this? It's on your note card. You can take the notes. It's amazing. P is for praise. Praise. A lot of times when we start our prayers, we start in the ask place. God, I need this thing. I need this. I need that, which is fine. Asking is good. But we see from Jesus' prayer and the Lord's Prayer, he starts with praising God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, hallowed is not a word that we use a lot, so let me just put it in simple terms for you. God, you are glorified. God, you are holy. God, you are good. God, I love you. God, you are amazing. God, you are so gracious. For us, we should start our prayers glorifying, thanking, praising God for who he is. Now, for me, I've taught this again to students and children my whole life, and I realized as I was getting ready for this, I knew I was talking about prayer, and I realized this is great for adults, and I think specifically right here, this is something I did not do in my prayers enough until I started teaching this to kids and to students. I would usually go to God either saying sorry for something stupid that I did or asking him for something instead of glorifying his name. Because when we start talking to God with praise, it reframes everything. It puts us in this mindset, this positive mindset, this glorification mindset of who God is. It helps me recognize who I am and who God is. And so in the past few years, I've taken up backpacking and hiking and camping. I love to camp. My buddies and I, we love to go camping. We've gone into hammock camping. We've got these backpacking hammocks. We go off into the wilderness somewhere. We find a grove of trees, and we hang up our hammocks, and we sleep under the stars. It's amazing. And that's one of those places where in nature, it's easy to praise God. You're out in the middle of nowhere looking up at the night sky. You see the Milky Way. You see the stars, and you can say, God, you made this. You created those stars. You made this world. You made this earth for us to enjoy. God, you are so good. You're so good. Look at the Psalms. The Psalms are always praising God. This is a psalm that I love, Psalm 19:1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The earth proclaims the work of his hands. Amazing. We should be starting our time of prayer praising and thanking God for who he is. It's so powerful, and it totally reframes your prayer life when you start that way. So that's P, praise. The R is repent. Now, this might feel like this is a kind of churchy word. It can be kind of a scary word, but I'm going to tell you, it's not none of those things. Repenting is simply doing this. Here's how Jesus puts it. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. God, forgive us when we sin. Forgive us when we miss the mark. Forgive us when we don't do what we know we should do. Forgive us when we make mistakes, and help us to forgive other people. Repentance is not a scary word. It just means to turn away. To turn away. I'm walking down this path. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not what God would have for me. I repent. I'm saying, God, I want to go the other way. God, I'm sorry I went that way. I'm going this way now. That's all that it is. Because God is not concerned with your mistakes. Jesus died on the cross and he forgave all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all the bad things you have ever done and ever will do once and for all. And so God's not up in heaven on his throne. When you mess up, when you disrespect someone, when you gossip at work, when you punch your brother or sister, whatever that is, when you talk disrespectfully to someone and saying, oh, Ryan better ask for forgiveness real soon. He's in trouble now. No, God's not concerned with that. Repentance is, for me and for you, is recognizing where we've missed the mark before God, freeing ourselves and acknowledging who we are. And there's something so freeing knowing that God's already forgiven me, that God loves me unconditionally, and that really I can hope and trust that I will actually, those things that affect me, those negative things that I do, those sins in my life, those places where I miss the mark, I can actually turn away and begin to grow from those things. When I repent, it reminds me of God's grace in my life. And it also reminds me that part, forgive those who are debtors. Forgive those who sin against us. It reminds me, if the God of the universe, who is perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing, all these things, if he is willing to forgive me, how much more should I forgive those who sin against me? I should be quick to forgive when my wife and I don't agree. I should be quick to forgive when my kids do something that's wrong. I should be quick to forgive when I have a conflict at work. I should be quick to forgive because God is so quick to forgive me. So we start that, we praise and we repent. My kids, when they get, they love each other. They're best friends, Mason and Campbell. They love each other, but inevitably, about every 10 minutes when they're playing together, they get into a fight of some kind, a disagreement. And you know what this is, if you're a parent, you know what this is like. And you go to your kids and say, hey, Mason, when you take away Cammie's toy, you grab it out of her hands, it makes her feel bad. So you need to say, sorry. Sorry, Campbell. You know, okay. Back up. Let's get to real repentance here, buddy. I want you to say, really, sorry. When you do that, it makes Cammie feel like you don't love her. It makes Cammie feel like you don't like her, that you're not caring about her. And I want Mason, my kids, I want my kids to feel a little bit of that, what it feels like, and to grow in empathy and to grow into true repentance. I want that real cute, like, sorry, Campbell, with a hug and a kiss on the head. Like, I want that. That's what I'm going for. When we repent, when we do this, when we exercise this every day in our prayers, it builds that muscle of saying, I'm sorry. I messed up. I want to change. I want to grow. God, help me. It helps us recognize how good God is and how much we need him. So we praise, we repent. We get down to A. This is where we live. Ask. Ask. We ask God for what we need. We typically, this is the main content of our prayer. That's okay. We got to do it. God tells us to ask him for what I need. Ask him. Come to me. I'm here. I've got it all. I've got all the resources. I am God. And so for us, when we go to God, there's some of us, I've had these questions over the years. What is okay to ask God for? Is it okay to ask God for good grades on a test? Is it okay to ask God that I get the promotion I've been looking for? Is it okay to ask God that I have a great marriage? Is it okay to ask God that I get a raise at work? And I'm going to say, if you're asking a question, is it okay to ask God for? The answer is, go for it. Ask God. There's not a list of approved askings in the Bible. You can ask for what you need and what you need from God. Because it helps us to recognize where remember, James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Your raise comes from God. Your kids come from God. Your marriage comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So you got to go and ask him. You got to go make your request known to him. And sometimes, here's what happens, though. Oh, here's what Jesus says, just a reminder in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. And at the end, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He models that for us. Ask. We can ask of God. But sometimes we get tripped up because some of us have been asking God for something for a long time. And sometimes God's answer to us, like any request, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's maybe, sometimes it's wait. And that can be very hard. But a simple way to think about this. God loves to hear your request. God loves to bless his children. God loves to answer prayers. But sometimes we don't know what's best. God knows what's best. Here's the example I use. My kids, every night, around right after dinner, they make a request of me every night. You know this request. Dad, can I have a treat now? They want a treat. They want ice cream. They want cake. They want candy. And sometimes it's yes. Oh, yeah, sure. Let's get down the candy thing and, you know, we'll do it. But sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes I know they didn't eat a good dinner. If you don't eat your broccoli, you don't get candy. Okay, that's the rules of the house. Sometimes we've had a great big party. Like Friday, it was Mason's graduation. He had ice cream. And then we had family over for dinner, and we had ice cream and cake again. And then after the ice cream and the cake and all that stuff, Mason, without fail, asked, Dad, can I have a treat now? And I said, no, you had a ton of treats, man. I don't want you to, you know, because I love my son. I don't want him to become a planet-sized little boy. I want him to be healthy. I want to take care of him. And so sometimes I have to say no, even though I'd like to say, go for it. And I think that happens the same with God. Sometimes we don't know it all. God knows it all. And sometimes God says no. And that's hard. That's difficult. Some of us are struggling today because we've been asking God, and we've not heard from him. But here's where I want to remind you. We're in good company because Jesus got a no from the Father. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is right before he was arrested, tried, and crucified. He's praying to God the Father, and he's saying, Father, if there's any other way that this can happen, if there's any way you can take this cup of suffering from me, if there's any way I don't have to go to the cross, if there's any way I don't have to be forsaken, can you do that instead? But he ends his prayer saying, not my will, your will be done. And we know that Jesus didn't get a yes to that one. He was arrested, tried, and put to death, forsaken by the Father. And so even Jesus himself, when he prayed to his Father, he got an O too. So we know that God loves, that the Father loves the Son. We know that God loves you. And sometimes it's still hard to wrestle with that. But I want to encourage you, keep going to the Lord and asking him. Ask him. Be persistent. It doesn't bother him. He doesn't get annoyed with you. And this idea takes us to the last word, yield. Now, yield is not a word that we use a ton, but we see it all the time. I got a picture of this. You see it on the road. It's a, you recognize this? No one pays attention to this sign anymore, just so you know. So just a public service announcement. This sign means if that sign's for you, you have to let other people go first. Then you go when other people aren't there. So just when you're out there, the sign's helpful. We give other people preference. With God, when here's what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In James chapter 4 last week, Tyler talked about how these guys were planning, hey, today we're going to go do business over here. We got all these plans. It's going to be great. And James says, instead of saying that, you should say, if the Lord wills, then we'll go do business. Then we'll go to this city. Then we'll go do this thing. It seems like a subtle shift, but it's huge for our mindset. If we go to the Lord, we pray and we ask, we request, and we make all these asks of who God is to give to us, it's another thing to say at the end, but God, I trust you with the result. I trust you to answer these in your sovereignty, in your grace, in your power, and in your knowledge, and in your love for me. That's a different thing. And when we do that, there's something liberating and freeing about it. I love experts. If I don't know something about something, I want an expert on my side. I need a good mechanic. I don't know anything about cars. I know nothing. I know when it's not working right. I know when it doesn't sound right. I don't know what to do about it. So I need an expert. So I've got a mechanic. You take my car in and I say, Ray, make my car well again, okay? I trust you. I put my car in your hands and I trust that you will make it great, okay? And it always comes back amazing because I have an expert on my side, someone who knows way better than me. Doctors, I don't trust myself. You know, I know when I don't feel right, I don't trust myself to heal myself, okay? My son this week, Mason, he got a lightsaber injury to the eye, okay? Here, I got a picture of it. Lightsaber injury to the eye, and it's coming. Here it is. See, he burst a blood vessel. It's pretty cool. I thought it was something epic, like he was having a duel with somebody. Nope, he was trying to put something away, and he was bending over and poked himself in the eye, so kind of embarrassing for him. But my wife and I don't know much about how eyes work, but we do know that eyes are delicate, and we didn't want anything to happen to him. And so someone reminded me that, hey, there's someone at CPC, they were an eye doctor, and she's a friend of mine. I said, oh, great. So I texted her this picture and said, Karen, diagnosis for me, tell me what to do. And she called us right away. She asked some follow-up questions. She gave us a lot of peace. And she said, if he's not experiencing these symptoms, he's fine. Go get this ointment. She sent me a picture of what this ointment was at CVS. Put it on his eye. He should be fine. I'll call you tomorrow and check in. There's a lot of freedom when you have someone that's knowledgeable in your life. There's a lot of freedom when you give a problem to them and you get an answer from them. But here's the crazy thing. For us, we have God. He's the expert of experts. He's the expert of everything and anything. He knows it all. And there's something so liberating When we have a problem, when we have an issue, when we have a need, when we have a desire, and we can go to God and say, God, I need this, I want this, I desire this, but in the end, God, I'm putting it in your hands. I'm trusting you to figure it out on my behalf. And I know that you love me and that you care about me, and I trust you with the result. That's a posture of yielding and a powerful place to be. So just to recap, here it is. When we pray, here's the blueprint. We're going to praise God. We're going to praise his name. We're going to repent. We're going to say, God, I need to turn away from some of these things that I know I shouldn't be doing. We're going to ask him for what we need. Ask him anything. God's not embarrassed. God's not, ask him anything. And we're going to yield. We're going to give it all to him at the end. We're going to love him, and we're going to give him all of that in the end. And when we do this, we look back at the book of James. Here's what happens. Here's what we can expect. Here's what God will do. Is anyone in trouble? Let them pray. God will lead you out of trouble. We will experience many troubles in our lives. Anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. We will be joyful people. When we have something happen, we're going to say, God, thank you. This is amazing. You are good. Is anyone sick? Let them call the elders. Let them be prayed over. You're going to see sickness healed. You're going to see sins forgiven. You're going to see incredible things happen as we are people of prayer, as we simply talk to God and he responds to us. It's an incredible thing. For some of you in this room, you've not prayed before. Or maybe you don't pray very much. Or maybe you haven't prayed with confidence. Maybe you don't know the words to say or how to do it. We have a little model for you. You have a blueprint for prayer. Some of you, you need prayer today. You have an illness. You have a family member that needs prayer, that needs God to work in their lives. We are our pastors, and we have a prayer team of our elders. We would love to pray for you. And remember that Connect card that we had in our bulletin this morning? On the back is a prayer card. Tyler mentioned this, but this is for real. If you write down a prayer, someone will pray for you this week. They will talk to God on your behalf and pray for you. Some of you need prayer. Pray to God, talk to God, and let others in and to pray for you as well. It's powerful. It's amazing. It's incredible. And here's the crazy thing. I can't get over this. When you speak to God, he hears you. He listens to you. He loves you. He cares about you. I think about when my daughter Campbell, when she comes to me, she hugs me, she just wants to talk to me. She wants to ask me for something. She wants to say sorry for something she did. There's nothing better than having that moment, that conversation, talking with my little 3-year-old girl. The God of the universe is your heavenly Father, and he feels the same way about you. He wants to hear from you. He's not ashamed of you. He loves you and wants you to be with him. So as we close, I want to just model this kind of prayer for you. In my closing prayer, I want to model a little glimpse into how I pray in my life. So let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for making us. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my church. And thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being God. Thank you for loving me. Lord, there's so many areas in my life that I need to turn away from to repent, Lord. I'm sorry when I don't speak kindly to my kids or to my wife. Lord, forgive me when I think it's all about me and not about you. Forgive me when I don't trust in your power. And Lord, today I pray that we would all learn and get confidence to go to you, God. The book of Hebrews, you say that we can approach your throne with confidence. Lord, I pray that we would go to you like a child to a father, that we would talk to you. Help us, teach us to pray. Give us confidence to pray. And Lord, I pray that you would answer. We would see what you do in our lives. But Lord, ultimately, we got to give all of that over to you, Lord. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in the life of CPC. Your will be done in the life of every single person in this room. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.